Take your seat, get your Bible, go with me to Matthew the 5th chapter. In Matthew the 5th chapter, we're talking about a wonderful subject out of the words of Jesus called Supremely Blessed. You know, and I say this every week since we started this series, you know you want to be supremely blessed. Don't tell me you don't, because you're just a little liar if you do, and liars don't go to heaven. You want to be happy about marriage and homes and children and finances and dreams and vision. You want life to come out and be great for you, and Jesus talks about that. That's what the word beatitude really means. It really means to be supremely blessed, and here Jesus is telling his disciples how to do it. Sometimes we just read through these things, we think we understand everything, when in fact it's a whole lot deeper than that, a little bit more interesting than that as we look at the word of the Lord. I don't have a lot of time to go through what we've already gone through. I don't even know what part this is, but you remember it says, and I'm not even going to refer to what these mean. We're just going to go to verse number 9, but I'll read you first, starting in the 5th chapter of Matthew, starting in verse number 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God, of heaven. Blessed are those, verse number 4, who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. And blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in hearts, for they shall see God. And tonight, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And I just want to share this with you tonight. When I was preparing for this message, God kept saying something to me. I'm going to say it to you. He kept saying, what? And I kept saying, blessed are the peacemakers. And then he'd say, what? And I'd say, blessed are the peacemakers. I must have said that 50 times. It was because I wasn't getting it. Blessed are the peacemakers. 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 Not blessed are those that are in peace. We're not talking about Jesus giving you peace that surpasses all understanding. We're not talking about taking Jesus, he is the Prince of Peace, into your existence. That's great. We're talking about people who make peace. And you can't make peace unless you're in the midst of some form of troubled times. In other words, you don't have to make peace if everything is at peace. You make peace because there are situations in your life that need somebody to get in there and make peace. And finally, I got it when he made me say it over and over again. I finally just opened up to me that he was talking about the one that wants to be and needs to be supremely blessed is someone who does something like his father and is a maker of peace in whatever situation there is. That means you're confronted with some troubled times and pressure, and all of a sudden you've decided, instead of to get into the problems and pressure, you've decided to do something. You decided to be the peacemaker of the situation, instead of the fighter, instead of the arguer, instead of the one who's frustrated, instead of the one who's angry about something or wants to violate or wants to retaliate. You're somebody who wants to do something else. You want to make peace like your father would. And that's why he says, for they shall be called the sons of God. The sons of God do what the father does. They act like the father. What's the father do? The father wants to make peace. Doesn't want to make war. Doesn't want to destroy people. Doesn't want to hurt, harm people. Doesn't want to come along and be ugly and awful. Father wants to come along and love and make peace. He has, since the beginning of time, put Adam and Eve in a garden that was beautiful. Why? In a peaceful place. He wanted to make peace for them. And they chose to go in a different direction, like oftentimes we do. And God is coming along like your father is a peacemaker. Therefore, you need to be also a peacemaker. And especially during a holiday season, I think it's a great message before Thanksgiving when we gather together with relatives. Anybody got relatives? Like, I have relatives. You know what I'm talking about. I don't want to sometimes be the peacemaker. I want to be the knuckle cracker. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, I'm going to give them the fivefold ministry. Here, I'm folding them right now. Get ready to pop across your lips. But God doesn't want us to do that. God wants us to be like Him. Instead of going in that direction, that we go in a different direction and take the situation and make peace out of it. It's a great understanding of how God would have us to be. Because if we're going to be like Him, and we're, and I like this, for they shall be called the sons of God, because the sons take after the Father. Pretty cool, huh? So I was just looking at the word of the Lord, and there's lots of things that I could have come up with, but the Spirit of the Lord led me somewhere I think is really fascinating. I don't know how this is going to come out yet, and I'm going to try to make it as clear as I possibly can with you. We're going to mess around tonight in the Old Testament. Is that okay? But we're going to look at where there's peace, because if the Father creates peace in a situation, and we are the sons that are going to create peace like the Father creates peace, then we ought to look at where there's peace in the Bible. And there's lots of places, but I found it some fascinating places. Well, when God makes a statement, when the land rested after a war, and all of a sudden, whatever took place in the battle, now the land rested, that showed me something of how God brought peace into the land. And that gave me an insight, if you will, on how you and I are to be when it comes to being peacemakers. This year, let's have a church of peacemakers, not of troublemakers, not of problem makers, not of people who cause strife and division, but peacemakers. And it's easy oftentimes to justify why we're troublemakers, but God wants us to be peacemakers. Because He wants us to look at situations and bring peace to that situation. There are three things that I want to share with you. I've got them together so that you can follow me on this. It's number one, where there is peace. Number one, you're going to have to pursue it. Peace doesn't happen unless you go after it. And really what you're doing tonight, you're starting to identify yourself not just with peace, but with a peacemaking situation. Whatever the situation you're going to be confronted with, whatever family, whatever children, whatever boss, whatever situation between people are going on, whatever thing, right or wrong, it isn't the issue. Who's right, who's wrong, who's got justice, who is, that's not the issue. The issue is whether you and I will be like the Father and be a peacemaker. And you can't be a peacemaker until you start seeing yourself as one who, let's make peace about this thing instead of war over it. And when you start to think that way, you're going to have to pursue it. And pursuing it means you're going to go after God when you do this, because He is the one where peace comes from. When you wholeheartedly go after God, that means you're really pursuing the ways of the Lord, and you're not just pursuing the frustration or the anxiety or the justification you have for not having peace. Peace is so important for all of us. We all really want it. We work all our lives for it. We gather ourselves together and get retirement programs and join organizations and pour literally our life in for 20 or 30 or 40 years so that we can get some kind of a retirement program and hope the politicians don't fall apart like they are recently and find ourselves in a place where we can find peace at least in the last part of our life. But what happens when you become a peacemaker all of a sudden, man, instead of just existing, now you're really doing something. You're making peace in wherever you go like the Father does. In fact, if you look at it with me, and I'll just pop up a couple of verses on the overhead. You don't even have to turn there. Romans 14, chapter verse number 19. Romans 14, 19 says, therefore let us, listen to this, pursue the things which make for peace, and the things by which one may edify another. So God's telling us that we're going to have to go after this. I mean, being a peacemaker doesn't happen because you're pretty or smart. Being a peacemaker doesn't happen because you know this is what you should do. You might as well try it. Peacemakers are somebody to get in and make it happen and stay with it. So important for us to see. And here we find in the New Testament that Paul writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to the church of Rome, and he says these things, pursue the things that make for peace, being a peacemaker. And we also find in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verse 14, Hebrews 12, 14, and it says this, pursue peace with all people. Now, listen to this, with all people, doesn't matter, with all people. Listen, I'm not going to fight, I'm not going to be ugly, I'm going to bring peace into the situation. Even though I don't agree with you, even though you maybe violated me, even though you lost my trust, even though, you know, bringing peace into the situation is different than trusting you. Trusting is one thing, peace is another. They're two separate things. Can I tell you something? I never stop loving you, but that doesn't mean I agree with you. So peace is something else. You bring peace into the situation, whether or not you agree with the people or not agree. Because you're bringing peace doesn't mean you don't agree. It means you do agree. And peacemakers are very important for us to see. And he says, pursue peace with all people. Sometimes you just don't feel like doing it. But here he comes along, and there's a great benefit when you do it. I want to just share something. I'm going to take you to the Old Testament. As we go to the Old Testament, Joshua has now, you remember how Moses, let me back you up in your thinking so you understand where we're going and you understand where we're at, okay? God speaks to Moses to take the children of Israel out of bondage and bring them into the promised land. We've talked about that a lot lately. The children of Israel, when they go into the promised land to spy it out, they find out there's giants in the land. Here's their words. They'll crush us like the grasshoppers. We cannot take the land. These 12 spies go out. 10 of them come back with an evil report saying, you know, there's no way we're going to get into that promised land. The giants are there and they're too strong for us. We can't make it. Really disappointed God. Because, you know, when you got God on your side, who's going to come against you? What more do you need? Do you know that you need a greater bazooka or you need a greater, you know, tank or you need an aircraft carrier or something? I mean, those things are nothing to God. You know what I'm talking about? You got God, man. God is a weapon that, if he wants to be, that no one has ever invented. You know, he sends one angel and wipes out all of the enemies. You got to be kidding me. So here they find themselves complaining, 10 out of the 12. The only two that didn't complain was Joshua and a guy named Caleb, two young men. And they both said, yes, God said, let's go get the promised land. We don't care about the giants in the land. We're taking them. Well, anyway, God doesn't let them go into the promised land because there was just too many of them that were in agreement with the 10 spies with an evil report. So the whole generation dies off. New generation starts to go into the promised land. And the guy that's leading the new generation is a guy named Joshua because Moses is now dead. Are you following me? And Joshua is now going to take them into the promised land. And one of the guys he's got with him is a guy named Caleb. Remember, Joshua and Caleb were the two that said, hey, yes, let's go. God said so. It's ours. 40 years earlier. Now Caleb's like 85 years old. I like him. And so here we find that he's going to go into the promised land. And as he goes into the promised land, in Joshua, the 14th chapter, if you've got your Bible, you need to go there and check this out. It is totally cool. And Joshua is now going to bless Caleb with a piece of land. They're going into the promised land under Joshua's jurisdiction and leadership. And one of the people that's there is Caleb. And Joshua is going to give Caleb the land that he had his heart set on. I don't know if you ever noticed what land that he got. I thought it was pretty fascinating, if I may. Now, you say, what has this got to do with peace? Watch this. Watch this. Is that okay? Listen to this. Listen to this. Verse 13. And Joshua blessed him. Verse 13, the 14th chapter. 14th chapter of Joshua. Verse 13. And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. as an inheritance. And Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and the day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. What's the difference? You can't pronounce their names anyway. Did you get that? You can't pronounce their name either. But I don't want you to miss the point. So there, Hebron becomes the inheritance of Caleb, the son of blah, 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 in this day. Because he, I should have underlined the words, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. You know what that means? He pursued after what God said. Now watch this. He pursued after what God said. I should have underlined it, but I did. There it is. Because he fully followed the Lord God of Israel. Now watch this in verse number 15. And the name of Hebron formerly was Kiriath and Arba, and was the great man among the Anakim. Then the land had rest from war. In other words, it never had rest from war, never had peace, until something happened, until someone pursued the things of God. Now, I don't know if you understood what just took place. The name of Hebron formerly was Kiriath Arba. Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim. You know what the Anakim were? They were the giants. In other words, the land of the giants. This greatest means the biggest, tallest, most powerful, most well-known giant of them all. Caleb gets that land because he wholly followed and pursued after God's word, stuck to it and kept it, and then the land had peace. Now hold on. In other words, is that a coincidence that it was the very giants that ran them out and Caleb said, no, I'm not backing off. Let's go forward. We can take this land. And then 40 years later, God gives him the very giant's land himself. You think that's a coincidence? That's God saying, that man followed me, he pursued me, he kept my word, and therefore I will give him what everybody else thought was impossible. In other words, what the rest of the world thinks is impossible, God will give to you if you will pursue God and keep his word holy until he brings it to pass. That in itself is like one of the most amazing verses. Just pursuing God. Wholehearted going after things of God. God takes the miracle of the giant's land and gives it to the one man who said, we can keep it. We can get it. That's not a coincidence, my friend. That's God saying something to every one of us who easily could have missed, but we didn't miss it tonight. We're talking about where there's peace. We want to know what brings peace to the land, because guess what? We're like our father. So we found out if we pursue. Now, when we pursue, there are rewards, there are reasons, there are things that happen in your life. Listen to this. Where there's peace in the land, there is spiritual progress. You got to get a hold of this. You know, the Bible says where there is confusion, there is every evil work. Ever tried to do something, never got anything done because of confusion? Have you ever tried to do something and everything's coming at you and everything is like confusing and you can't remember anything and everything you try, you stumble on, you fall, you hit your knuckles, you bang yourself. It just has confusion everywhere around you. The Bible says in that confusion, there's every evil work. Can I tell you something? You'll never get anything done until you take authority over that confusion. It's evil. You got to come against and make a stand and say no, just like the song we sang earlier. No weapon formed against me is going to prosper. I defeat you by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. If they can bring confusion into your thinking, you'll never do anything. But there'll be spiritual progress where someone pursues God. Listen to this. Pursues God to the place where they become a peacemaker or bring peace to the land, whatever situation is your life. I'll just show it to you if I may. It's kind of a cool little verse in 1 Kings, the 5th chapter. Spiritual progress is what we're talking about. 1 Kings, the 5th chapter. And 1 Kings, the 5th chapter. And starting in verse number 3, there's Solomon. Now, here's what's neat about Solomon. He's the son of David, remember that. And there's this a messenger, if you will, from the king of Tyre. His name is Hiram. And Hiram is this king of Tyre who wants to bless Solomon. Solomon is communicating with him about his father. Solomon makes this statement. It's recorded for us in the scripture. Verse 3 says, "You know how my father David could not build the house for the name of the Lord his God, because," listen to this, "of the wars which were fought against him on every side." Stop right there. I really believe David, that sentence right there, I should have underlined the words, "because of the wars which were fought against him on every side." I believe there were spiritual battles also that kept David. Not only was there blood on David's hand and all that kind of stuff, but I think the spiritual end of it is that there was a constant war. There was not the peace that needed to be in the land. Now watch this, okay? And then it goes on. And he says, "They were fought against him on every side until the Lord put his foes under his soles of his feet. But now the Lord my God has given me rest on every side. There is neither adversary nor evil occurrence." In other words, he find him in a total place of peace. Ow! Now watch, in the total place of peace, what Solomon does. Next verse, verse number 5. "And behold, I propose," listen to this, "to build the house for the name of the Lord my God, as the Lord spoke to my father David, saying, 'Your son, whom I will set on your throne in your place, he shall build the house for my name.'" In other words, there's spiritual progress where there's peace. And some of you are still in a battle spiritually. And you wonder why there isn't spiritual progress. And you've got to win those spiritual battles and get the peacemaker operating in your life where the confusion is gone, so you can win some spiritual battles and have spiritual progress in your life. Are you listening to me tonight? Because God's called you to be a peacemaker. And in the peacemaking, there's spiritual progress. Second thing I wanted to point out, which is really number 3. We're talking about where there's peace. Number 1, you're going to have to pursue it, but then you're going to have spiritual progress. But here's number 3. Listen to this. Where there's peace, there is prosperity. I want you to know something. You can just see the turmoil, for an example, in the economy of this country. Or the economy of the world right now. There is not peace in the marketplace. There's nothing going on with any kind of peace in Europe, nothing in China, nothing in the Asian countries, no peace whatsoever in our own markets. And you can see that there is no prosperity that is going forth in the land. The people are suffering. And you will find that when someone is a peacemaker, why? Because they pursued God. Why? Because there is spiritual progress when you pursue God. Yes, but there is also going to come something, and this is an incentive for all of us, there's going to be something called spiritual prosperity. And that means your marriage starts to work. That means your children start to work. That means your finances start to work. Your business starts to work. You know that thing that I say every time we gather together, whatever you put your hand to, you shall prosper. That starts to work. All of a sudden, things start to happen. Now, let me show you a scripture. Joshua, the 11th chapter. You were there in Joshua already. Go on back with me to Joshua. And this time, let's take a look at the 11th chapter in verse number 23. And Joshua took the whole land. Remember, he's the one that led the children of Israel into the promised land. Listen to this. And Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord had said to Moses. And Joshua gave it as an inheritance to Israel according to their divisions by their tribes. Then, listen to this, the land rested from war. You will find when the land is rested from the war, that there's peace in the land. It's because somebody has just pursued after God, completed what God's word had to say, found themselves making spiritual progress, and then after that comes spiritual prosperity. And you'll find that here the children of Israel, finally, no more wars, no more fighting. The promised land was theirs. Why? The peacemaker had now made a way for them. My friends, listen to me. You being a peacemaker will prosper your family. You being a peacemaker will prosper your business. You being a peacemaker will prosper your future. It'll prosper your destiny. It'll prosper your life. By just becoming what God wants us to be, conscious of the fact that like our Father, we are to bring peace to the land. Even if it's just two people or four people or 10 people, isn't the issue. The issue is we're here to bring peace to the land. We're not here to bring confusion, frustration, and decay, but peacemakers will prosper. They will have spiritual progress because they pursued God with a whole heart. If God spoke to you tonight, give the Lord a great big praise. Isn't God good?